Coming soon to the Judd Show Brown Show, Dr. Claude Anderson.
Wake that ass up
in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Claude Anderson. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you all for inviting me. I'm glad to be here. Looks like I'm in good company.
Yes,
yeah,
you are.
Good morning. You know, you've been a very requested guest.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. People are always like, you got to have Dr. Claude Anderson on. You got to have Dr. Claude Anderson on for years.
Yes.
People have been saying that.
Well, you know why? I've been paying him well to ask you that.
is that what Powernomics is?
No, Powernomics is specifically dedicated to trying to inform black folk and trying to elevate them to a higher level of competitiveness in the society and overcome the primary legacies of slavery and centuries of Jim Crow semi-slavery in the mm-hmm. South. We're in a very dangerous situation in this country as black folk, and this next year is going to be our last chance to get out of it.
I thought you were about to say it's going to be our last year, period. I wouldn't doubt that either.
That's pretty close. you're in a very dangerous situation. After all my years in politics and national politics and international politics, that's why I left government, saying that somebody had to get out here and start raising Cain on behalf of black folk.
What did you do in government?
Huh?
What did you do in government?
Oh, I was Assistant Secretary of the United States Department of Commerce, the first black. I was also a chairman for economic development for governors. Also, I was only black to be appointed to be over the government's property disposal program, which means my signature alone, I can give away all kind of federal property to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was an educator for over the entire state of Florida education system for about 8 years. And so I've been around the barn for a long time, but I've finally dawned on me that somebody got to get out here and start a raising Cain on behalf of black folk.
Now, how do we catch up? You know, we're so far behind. How do we catch up to make sure that we can play in the same game or even on the same field?
Well, the first thing I have to do is go back and correct what we've never done. Mm-hmm. In all my years in national politics and international politics, but most of the people you all are very familiar with by in name, they never, never, never addressed the primary problems of black folk. Our primary problem was not social integration or civil rights. The primary problem is you never corrected the legacies and burdens of slavery.
Mm.
See, the whole point of slavery was to do what? They never asked that. It was to socially engineer black folk into the lowest level of a real-life monopoly game. And what means that they maldistributed almost 100% of all this nation's land, resources, rights, privileges, businesses, and controls of all levels of governments into the hands of the dominant white society. Black folk haven't got a snowball's chance of ever being a competitive people. You might struggle for last another 2 or 3 years, but it's going to wipe you out pretty soon. You came out of slavery in 1860 having one half of 1% of this nation's wealth. Here you are 150 years later. Guess what? You still own one half of 1% of the wealth. And in a nation, in a race-based society, it is what you own and control that determines your equal opportunities and your rights and privileges. It's had that darn thing to do with civil rights. That's a waste of time. It doesn't have anything to do with voting, but that's an intellectual masturbation process.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't gonna do any good. What you need is own and control wealth and power.
They said intellectual masturbation. I heard you say that earlier on something I was watching. You said they get off, but it does nothing for them.
You got it down pat, bro. That's like you starving to death. Somebody give you a steak, you rub it outside your stomach. They ain't gonna do you any good. They ain't doing a damn thing for you.
I'm Dr. Claude Anderson, the president of the Harvest Institute of America and the Powernomics Corporation of America. I'm calling now to announce and invite you to participate with me this coming Friday on Judge Joe Brown's show, which is produced by Valerie Denise Jones at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want you to be able to come with me. I'm inviting you. And let me give you the number which you can call in on. At studio line 9 is 929-477-1167. This is a tremendously important show that's coming up on the Joe Brown Show. Because right now, black folk have been officially declared to be this nation's permanent underclass. An underclass means those individuals who, by the pure nature of their social economic conditions in our society, are predestined to live as beggars and criminals for the rest of their existence. The United States Department of Commerce Census indicated in 2014 that blacks are now a permanent underclass. We're exactly where we were as black people in 1860 after the Civil War. We must move now to make sure that we can change these conditions as quickly as possible. Between this December and next December, it'll be the last chance black folk are going to have to do it. That's why let's talk about some of these issues on the Joey Brown Show this coming Friday, and I want you to be there. I was invited to participate. I'm inviting you to participate. Again, that's the Judge Joe Brown Show, produced by Valerie Denise Jones at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call in again on the studio line, which is 929-477-1167. You ready, Miss Jones?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Okay. Now that I've invited you to join me in my invitation to be with Judge Joey Brown, and if you're not there and you need additional information, please feel free to call MissValerieDeniseJones.com for any updates on this program or to get additional information about the Power Numbers Corporation of America or Dr. Claude Anderson.
Radio. DJ.
One nation, one station.
Today's show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz, and is dedicated to Tatiana Jefferson, Botham Jean, Michael Dean, and all those whom Attorney Lee Merritt represents, loves, and supports.
All right, everybody. You're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. All right, I am getting ready to patch you into a previously recorded broadcast featuring Attorney Lee Merritt. Now, before I do that, I'm going to introduce an audio clip. It's going to be a weird transition, but I feel the need to play Nicki Minaj's audio first so that you'll understand her position, okay? All right, guys, let's get started. And after the show, I'll meet you down in the comment section.
Okay, so the Barbs have to be some of the most dedicated fans in the world. Would y'all agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And man, they're kind of aggressive too, Nicki.
They're very aggressive.
But okay, but you decided to rebrand your fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're calling them?
Members of the kingdom. I call them the kingdom now.
Okay.
Because I feel like we've elevated.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't really use the word Barbs much.
Okay.
But that is something sentimental with me that I share with my fans. But I don't need to share it with the world because they always try to put negative spins on things that I hold dear to my heart. So I don't want to give them that anymore.
All right, Judge, Philo, callers, you heard the audio clip. Nicki Minaj says quite often what she says gets misconstrued. So
She's talking bullshit.
Now,
there ain't nothing glorious about that crap. It keeps us down and it keeps us enslaved.
It's time to be a free
people and you can't afford that.
All right, Judge, keep that same energy. We got Attorney Lee Merritt. He's called back in, so I'm going to patch him in just a few. Yeah, he's all fired up. Normally, he's really calm, cool, and collected, but this time he decided to color outside of the lines versus in. He recently responded to a tweet sent out by Nicki Minaj. And just to catch you and our listeners up, I'm going to play a previously recorded audio clip of Nicki Minaj's tweet so I can get everybody caught up before I open his mic. Here we go.
All right, so this is Miss Petty, a.k.a. Nicki Minaj. I wonder if they were hugging on him after he got off that stand, the way they were all boohoo crying, hugging on the murderer. Talk about a slap in the face. Go hug on his fatherless child now. He should have let y'all suffer and minded his business. This is heartbreaking. R.I.P.
End quote. Miss Petty, a.k.a. Nicki Minaj. All right, Attorney Merritt, your mic is live. Judge Joe Brown had to step out for just a second. He's doing some things in the background. But yeah, I just wanted to go on and get started, jump right into it. So we just heard that audio clip and your response was a tad bit outside of your normal demeanor.
You're right. I had a sort of an emotional moment that I really don't like to get into because I don't find it as particularly productive. But there's this 18-year-old kid who suffered more than any of us ever wanted to suffer. He lost his very best friend, and he had to sit on pins and needles and wait to see if the American judicial system would deliver him a conviction in a way that it rarely ever does. And most people warned him, including myself, that it probably would not. And that was a very stressful year for him. That boy suffered. That boy thought was enraged. He struggled with bouts of depression. And I knew him intimately. And I watched him sort of close in on himself. And then to see the world community turn on him because of a decision that he made in order to deal with his own grief in a way that he felt was effective, I was ready to lash out at anyone. But then someone with a platform the size of Nicki Minaj, millions and millions of followers. She knows I have tens of thousands of followers. And I know if I call someone out, my followers will then go after them, right? She has millions of followers. And they went after that teenage kid who was already suffering, and that family who was already suffering in a way that was unfair. And so, yeah, I did find that offensive, but at the same time, it's not that I cannot relate to her frustration. I was frustrated when I was sitting in the courtroom watching him hug and apologize or forgive this woman. I realized quickly that it was not my own. It was not my struggle. That the justice that we helped give him gave him the room to show mercy. And you know, families get to do, excuse my language, whatever the hell they want to do to deal with their grief. My goal and my responsibility is to try to help give them justice.
Assuming you were aware of Joshua Brown's baby mama chiming in support of Nicki Minaj's tweet, did you feel slighted, ambushed? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want to know if you were aware and how you felt.
I was aware, and I represent Joshua Brown's mom. I hadn't had a lot of interaction with the baby mother, and so I saw her as another citizen who gets to express their opinion. If I were in her shoes, and I believe that this kid's action was somehow contributory towards what happened to Josh, I can understand or appreciate the retweet or the support, especially when you have a big mega star like Nicki Minaj offering support to your loved one. That's something that you do want to retweet and share, because that's a big deal for these families. I really, the onus for me is always going to be on the superstar who knows how this works, not the layperson.
You said this on Twitter.
Okay, so I'm not going to read all of it, just the first few lines of it. And then, like I said, you can go to gossiponthis.com to find the tweet in its entirety. So, at Nicki Minaj decided to shame the 18-year-old brother of hashtag Botham Jean for forgiving and embracing hashtag Amber Geiger after she was convicted and sentenced for the murder of his brother. First, I have to welcome Nicki to the conversation. To date, artists like at Bad Girl Riri and at Cardi B and a whole host of colleagues have helped me advocate for justice for Botham and other victims of police brutality. Nicki stood silent, but now she decides to take her huge platform and use it to attack a teenager grappling with the murder of his brother and the tenets of his faith. Okay, so again, go on gossip.com to find the rest of the tweet, or go to Lee Merritt's page. You'll also find it there.
Attorney Merritt, I never assume who is or is not listening to the show, but if perchance Nicki Minaj was listening, if she were listening, she and other celebrities, what would you say to her and or to them?
I would encourage Nicki Minaj to use her significant platform and influence to lift up the names of these black fathers who were killed, Cameron Lamb, Demetrius Williams, and Michael Dean. These families, these communities, which are very small communities, need outside support in order to elevate these cases, in order to keep the pressure on local officials to do the right thing. And because she's shown an inclination to speak out in issues of police brutality and on behalf of black families, I think these three would be great candidates. Yeah, the great thing about Cardi B is that Cardi B has already provided Sean and I a personal sale. If we need her to tweet something, she will. She talks to us about her cases all the time. And I'll say the same thing for a number of celebrities. There's a brother whose name is Stubby Me. He's gonna be upset. probably one of the biggest male singers out there. Anyway, his name's slipping me. But yeah, a number of celebrities continue to support us, and we appreciate them making themselves available to this cause. Trey Songz.
Yeah.
Trey Songz is a huge supporter, right?
Was there anybody else?
Rihanna. Rihanna's also a huge supporter. She's always been a supporter for years of me and Sean King. And so, and honestly, we started naming names. There are celebrities who understand the importance of using their voice. And it's the reason why, I've been accused of being a celebrity attorney, is because some of my cases that will otherwise be local have reached national levels because these celebrities are pushing them out on their platforms.
I'd like to get your personal perspective as it relates to Brant John. I don't get to talk to you a lot, so I just kind of want to backtrack here just a little bit, get off Nicki Minaj for just a second, but Brant John redirected a national conversation on police violence when he embraced Amber Geiger. And then what ended up happening is, not too long ago, he received an award for ethical courage. He received an award And it was written somewhere that he implored the police department to amplify the value of all lives. Can you break that down for me?
Again, I don't know anything about that. I only briefly saw, I think, a clap back on Twitter, and that's all that I saw about that. Yeah, and I think what the John family was trying to do, because I, for example, the reward from the police officers group, I didn't want them to accept it. They chose to accept it because they wanted to put out this message of forgiveness from a Christian perspective. The benefit of them hiring me as their attorney, and mind you, I'm a devout Christian as well, but I know the importance of the Black Lives Matter conversation, and I didn't want it to become diluted. And so when he went to receive that award after his family made that choice, we helped to craft a speech that spoke directly to law enforcement to tell them, it's on you all to end this culture of brutality. And it's not enough just to accept forgiveness, but you need to begin to change the way that you're seeing black males. If you think that Brant John is worthy of an award and to be celebrated, then when you see him walking down the street late at night, remember that he is. And when you see black boys walking down the street at night, remember that they're worthy of celebration and protection and not suspicion.
For the sake of time, because I've only got a few more minutes with you, I am just going to toss out a subject and then you give me an update, all right? So let's start with the security guard. The security guard in North Carolina who was caught on video body slamming a child.
Yeah, that officer was on administrative leave. I believe since then he has been terminated. He was charged with 3 misdemeanor charges. Obviously, we found that woefully insufficient, especially because last weekend we learned that the young man had to return back to the hospital. He's suffering chronic headaches, sort of post-concussive like symptoms, and obviously, his injuries are serious and prolonged or protracted. And so when you have a serious injury to a minor, that is in every state a felony. And so we are pushing now to bring that to the attention of the local district attorney so that the appropriate charges will be pursued. The scary thing for me watching that video and seeing several instances of police brutality a week, either on dash cam, body cam, et cetera. The real issue is that I don't know that it would be almost understandable if this was a bad guy having a bad day who decided to take it out on a kid. I don't think that was the issue. I think he exists in a bad culture. I think he exists in the most violent police culture in the modern world that allows for law enforcement officers, once they don that uniform, to feel like they're virtually invincible. And the system tends to rally to their aid. What happened as a result of that video coming out was he got paid administrative leave, as most of them do, right, as they review, because we insulated law enforcement officers from accountability. We train them. When we say we, because it's our tax dollars doing it, we train police officers. They spend maybe 70% of their time in the academy on the gun range. The other time they're doing hand-to-hand combat, teaching to take people to the ground. And so when you encounter someone in a really mundane setting, and I got used to this growing up in South Central LA, I'm walking down the street with my 2 older brothers and maybe 1 friend. Well, that's 4 people, and that was considered a gang in Los Angeles. And so police could stop us at any time, and because they feared 4 black men, even though we were boys, they had us get on the ground. They would place us in handcuffs. They would place us on the sidewalk. And that's just how they were trained. It wasn't because they really suspected there was a crime or that they feared for their lives. It was just how they were taught to interact with our community. That's the authority that our nation has deeded over to law enforcement, and it's absurd, and it's the reason that we have the bloodiest culture on planet Earth.
Earlier in the segment, we briefly touched on Joshua Brown's case. What is the current status?
I am still working on the case. The reason that no one's talking about it is because mom is basically asked to give her some time to sort some things out. There are some things going on with their family in the background that they don't want to play out publicly.
Okay, let's shift gears, because at this time I'd like to talk about Oprah Winfrey. She was recently in the news versus 50 Cent versus Russell Simmons. You're a black man. What are your thoughts regarding Oprah Winfrey's recent projects?
I mean, it's a mixed bag. I believe that black men and black people are soft targets. right? And so it's easy to undermine the credibility of, or to come after people from a criminal justice perspective who are of African descent, because the system is designed to punish and incarcerate black people. However, these men and these actors who have engaged in wrongdoing, they need to be punished too. The frustration comes from, I don't think it's an either-or situation, and I don't necessarily agree with a them-first situation. If you're going to come for someone, if Oprah, if you're going to come for someone and you feel like it's important and you're going to put your significant weight behind it, do so equally. And there have been several men that she has supported, white men that she has supported, who have been accused of some pretty atrocious things with significant evidence behind it, and she's been absolutely silent. So to see her go after a black man instead, I find really problematic. Now, I think she should go after black men who abuse, assault, and marginalize black women or any woman, but not to the exclusion of all the other white actors that she's in constant contact with and in business relationships with that she's ignored. I dealt with a conflict in my own practice because one of R. Kelly's victims came to me, and it was really the start of the whole Surviving R. Kelly documentary. And right before all of that happened, she came to me and she said, you know, I want you to use your significant influence, training, and experience to come after R. Kelly. And I decided to take her case because R. Kelly targets and exploits young black women, and he's done so for over two decades with almost absolute impunity. There was one trial where he was clearly guilty, but things aligned so that the key pieces of evidence and witness testimony was not made available, so he continued to abuse and assault black girls to the tune of several strings of suicides for young black girls, to the tune of serious emotional damage for generations of women, and that's a scary thing for our community to ignore. I do think the black community has an issue, addressing, the uncles and the cousins and abuse within our own families, and fear that the criminal justice system, which is ravenous towards black men, will go after them and over punish them. And so as a result, we have muted the voices of black girls and black women in a way that is also intolerable. But I do feel the conflict, because why should I use my platform to go after R. Kelly when the system is designed to go after men like R. Kelly and ignore the Donald Trumps of the world who was guilty of the same sexual abuse and assault?
I'm glad you brought up President Trump, because he was recently in the news regarding his impeachment. If impeached, he would be the third president in the United States to have been impeached. So do you have any thoughts regarding the impeachment? And also, do you think the African Americans should get involved?
I don't think the impeachment of Trump is going to be successful. I think we all should be involved. And I think it's a cathartic process where we learn more about the truly criminal things the president is doing. And even if it doesn't result in his conviction or in his removal from office, it still exposes the corruption that is rampant in the White House. And I think it's valuable for that purpose.
Okay, so speaking of criminal activity, I am scrolling down your Twitter page at Merit Law, and I noticed that you posted an update. Former Fort Worth officer indicted in a Tatiana Jefferson shooting death. Can you please expound on that and also tell us what's next?
Now that there's a criminal indictment for Officer Aaron Dean in a Tatiana Jefferson case, we have a responsibility to make sure the process is as fair and as sincere as possible. We want to see this officer prosecuted the same way a person who murdered a white woman in her home by shooting her through the window would be prosecuted if they were not a police officer. And so in order to bring that about, we cannot just sit back and wait to see what the Tarrant County District Attorney does. We need to be making phone calls, writing letters, doing research, exposing Sharon Wilson, the district attorney, for the conservative pro-police advocate that she is, in demanding that she brings in a special prosecutor to prosecute that case. the people of Tarrant County need to continue to talk about Tatiana Jefferson. They need to continue to talk about this case and keep it at the forefront. It should continue to trend until the trial, which could be over a year out. That means we're going to need systems. We're going to need organizations who commit to regular activities, regular demonstrations, regular discussions. And the importance of that is because the people in Tarrant County and across the country who have similar cases going on, as you know, in a period of 1 week, I picked up the cases for three black fathers who were killed. There's on average three people killed a day by law enforcement officers. So there's no shortage of opportunities to get involved in your local community as you focus on these national stories. But so that people in that community will be keenly aware of what's going on when it comes time for trial, and that they show up and they participate and they respond to the jury summons, and that we get a diverse jury in that very diverse county. Because Tarrant County is a lot more diverse than people let on. For example, when President Obama ran, that county, which is very conservative and very red, turned blue because the black people who were in that county simply decided to participate in the process for that one election. We need them to continue to participate in the process for the foreseeable future, but specifically for this case.
I was recently on the White House's website, right? And contrary to my conventional wisdom, I realized that there are two types of petition. One is a long-term organizational legacy petition, and the other is short-term. Now, I'm not exactly sure I'm sold on petitions, but just in case petitions work, I want to ask you, is there anything our listening audience could do to petition the court as it relates to Aaron Dean's conviction? And also, is there a petition in place for a Tatiana Jefferson?
Yeah, I think petitions are more effective than people think. And so saw recently that Texas planned to put Rodney Reed to death in a case where it was pretty significant evidence that he was not guilty. And most of the legal avenues were either ineffective or were closed doors. And so people decided to start a petition. Sean King and I started promoting a petition on FreeRodneyReed.com. That petition went from hundreds of thousands and over a weekend to over 3 million in the course of less than 2 weeks. And as a result, politicians and public officials began to make statements in support of Rodney Reed. And then eventually the parole board decided to grant him a new trial. Or to stop his execution. I think that we should see something similar in the case of a Tatiana Jefferson, where people demonstrate that, no, we are not comfortable with the Tarrant County District Attorney trying this case. No, we are not comfortable with seeking a minimal sentence, like a 10-year sentence. We want the best prosecutors on this case who are going to seek the maximum time for this really heinous crime. No, there's no petition. I'm saying that would be something that's effective, but that generally comes from people.
All right, Attorney Merritt, we have come to the end of today's broadcast. So I have one more question. It's actually a two-part question. I apologize for all these twofers, but as I mentioned earlier, I don't get to spend a lot of time with you. So when I do, I try to ask as many questions as possible to stay current. All right, here we go. So this question really doesn't have anything to do with you outside of the fact that both of you are lawyers, but I did want to ask you what your opinion was as it relates to Christopher Darden. And as you know, Christopher Darden is best known for prosecuting O.J. Simpson and is now back in the news. Currently, he's representing Ed Buck, who is a wealthy Democratic donor charged in two overdose deaths at his Los Angeles area apartment. Buck is 65 years old, pleaded not guilty to distributing meth, resulting in the deaths of Timothy Dean and Jamel Moore. Prosecutors say Buck preyed on vulnerable gay men and pressured them to let him inject them with drugs as part of a sexual ritual. Buck is also charged with providing meth to three more men, including one who overdosed. So I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts regarding this case, and also, is this a case that you would consider taking on?
I do, and now that you bring up the facts, I am familiar with Ed Buck. People have been trying to contact me about Ed Buck for some time. but none of the families of the victims. And so, as a civil rights attorney, I would bring a case, I would bring a civil suit and push for a criminal prosecution of Ed Book, because that's what I believe would be beneficial to our community. But that's also because I am a civil rights attorney. I make no qualms about it. My practice is about supporting the Black community. My practice is about ending long-term issues with injustice in our community. And I want to be a part of a great body of work that's going on in the country and historically around these issues. That is not Chris Darden. Chris Darden is the standard criminal defense attorney. He wants to work high-profile cases. He doesn't care who the defendant is. He would defend the Unabomber. He would defend the Klan if they were going to pay him, because his job is to get paid. Someone, the way our judicial system works, someone, as you know, is going to advocate on behalf of Mr. Book. And Mr. Darden is saying, I want to be that person, because he has never held himself out as someone who is a champion for Black issues.
All right, guys, that is the end of the live broadcast. I hope you enjoyed that edit. But before I go, I'd like to say something, because I totally agree with Attorney Lee Merritt, who says that he goes hard to champion issues and causes that are relevant to our community. I know that as long as there are Christopher Dardens out there in the world, then I need not do this for sport, but I need to do this more often so than not, so that you can get that good word, that good message. So if you're in support of the Joshua Brown Show, Joshua Brown, me, the team, all of our guests, please join us on Patreon, or just hit me up on Cash App. There's a fast way to do that. Just Cash App, $ Valerie Denise, VALERIEDENISE. Because as Dr. Claude Anderson mentioned, we've only got a little bit of time to really get our ish together. So we're going to have to band together in order to do that. But outside of that, guys, I will meet you in the comment section, and we'll take any questions and requests that you have. And also, too, if you know anyone who would be good for an interview on this platform, just let me know. Okay? I love you to life. Talk soon.
Today's live broadcast was sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz. MyOliveLeaf.biz.
Hey, guys. This is Valerie Denise Jones. Happy holidays to you. I wish you nothing except happiness, good health, and prosperity. Please, please, please go out of your way. Don't let nothing get you down, especially not health issues. No health issues like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetic blood sugar, eczema, none of that. X it all out. And if you need help, or got questions concerning any of the issues I just mentioned, please visit myoliveleaf.biz. Again, myoliveleaf.biz. And if you want to talk to somebody, please call 612-567-3263. 612-567-3263. The guys over there at Team Olive Leaf will definitely be happy to assist you. Again, happy holidays. I love you guys to life. Talk soon.